Lord, my sisters and brothers, we are glad to meet with you on this another day that we have set aside to praise and worship our Lord. We are glad to be with you this morning. Let us, of course, stop and have a word of prayer before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for being so good and for always being so good to us. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us as we slumbered and slept through the night, and for waking us up today, Lord, and allowing us to be on about our daily occupations and to be able to just have this time to come together in this fashion and in this way to worship and praise you, and look, Lord, to be blessed by and through your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you allow me to be an instrument used in your hand this day to say that which you would have me to say, even the way you would have me to say it. And praying, Lord, always that my pride, my ego, my vanity does not get in the way of what you would have to come forth. For Lord, we know that if your words come forth, what you would have to be said, some soul will be edified, sanctified, and you'll be glorified. But this is our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to be coming to you from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Very familiar passages of scripture. And I'll be reading from the King James Version for the benefit of those who are not able to get to their Bibles for whatever reason. And I'll be beginning at the 39th verse, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning at the 39th verse. Let us hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man have done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he gave up the ghost. I read Luke, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, the 39th through the 46 verses. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. What the opportunist? That's what I want to say. Start right out saying, what the opportunist? I mean, this crook. Now, Jesus was I won't say surrounded, but he had on each side of him a malefactor. Okay, two thieves that they're commonly called. I'm not sure what their crime was, but whatever it was, some passages do say thieves. Yeah, one on each side, and you had the one who said, "Yes, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Okay, you got that one saying that. Now, I want you to understand that once again, the devil tried to tempt Jesus when he thought Jesus was weak. I mean, y'all remember the passage in Matthew, the 4th chapter, the 5th and 7th verse. Let me refresh your memory right quick. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city. Now, this is after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I want you to understand that. A lot of us say, okay, we'll go on a fast today. Some of us will fast for hours. And it's one thing you say, okay, to go without eating. Jesus fasted without bread and water, eating or drinking for 40 days. Just keep that in mind. Okay. Now, the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And listen to what the devil said to him, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus replied to him, saying this, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, beloved, like we said, this crook allowing Satan to use him had the audacity to try to tempt Jesus and taunt him into doing something. I've heard this said. I want you to hear this. Some look at Jesus and label him the world's greatest failure. The world's greatest failure. Some of y'all saying, what the world's greatest failure? Y'all stay with me. Remember, I said that. Don't forget it. Lock that in. Don't forget that I said that. Now, there are a number of descriptions and definitions for the word failure. Okay, now I think that this one fits right in line with our scripture. I want you to hear this. I got this from Google, from one of the dictionaries they have there. And this is what it says. That failure, now watch, is a non-performance of something that's due, required, or expected. Expected. How many of you know that when you were, especially when you were younger, somebody come up and hit you? You were expected to hit them back. Their expectation may have come from your peers, might come from some of your relatives, might even come from your parents. Somebody hit you, you hit them back. Somebody do something, you do it back to them, and that goes on and on. This is expected from a lot of people. And if you do not meet their expectations, you could be labeled failure because you failed to do what everybody else expected you to do. I see where we can go with this. Okay. But y'all stay with me. Like I said, I don't intend to keep you long. Let's just see what happens. We know that there were many occasions when Jesus did not do what was expected of him, but we just singled out these two to show that Jesus did not only do what was expected of him, and not only did he not do what was expected of him, but he didn't do what was expected, period. He didn't do what was expected according to the laws of nature. I mean, let me get you to understand something. You've been beaten, in the case of Jesus, beaten, hairs pulled from your face, flesh pulled from your bones, and muscles and sinews exposed as they lay you on old splintery wooden cross, hung with spikes that get going through your hands and feet. Dehydrated. Dehydrated, out there in the sun, hanging, bloody, losing so much blood. Physically weak, physically in pain. It was expected for you, or in this case for Jesus, to just give it up, let it go. And then you have someone who knew of Jesus. I don't want to say he knew him. He knew of Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. And I dare say he also knew Jesus' capabilities. For he made some statements. He made some statements. And before I expound on his statements, let me give you our subject for today. Our subject for today is this: in the presence of failure, love always comes through. In the presence of failure, love always comes through. Now, for those who want to try to label Jesus a failure, even if they are trying to have a play on words, you can say, yes, he failed to do what was expected. He failed to do what was expected. With everything that we just mentioned that he went through and more, he was expected to just be like a puppet on a cross. No puppet master to pull him up by the strings, just to be hanging there, beaten down, bruised, battered, broken, just to be there, too weak to do anything else. But that's not so. That's not so. He failed to fit that mold. For even with all that he's gone through physically and mentally, he still did not fail to do what he came here to do. For here was a soul that asked him something. He asked him for something. He asked him to remember him. But at the same time, he acknowledged who he was. He didn't say, "Listen, man, sir, teacher, rabbi." He said, "Lord, Lord, remember me." Oh, wait a minute. She said, "Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Def. You hold up a little bit. It ain't time for me to leave here yet. I have a soul here that I got to do something with. Now, you hold up a little bit. I got to do something with this man. He hit me right here in my heart. He knows me. I want to let him know that I heard him. That which he said came from his heart. And I want him to know that it touched my heart." Couple of things. This was the other malefactor who was hanging there on the one side of Jesus. The one who Jesus said to him, "This day, I know death is coming, and I know everybody's gonna say that I'm gone, Everybody gonna say that I've died. And the story ends. They don't know. But I want you to know. Because I know that you do. Because you say, when I enter into my kingdom, not if, when I enter into my kingdom, I'm here to let you know this day you'll be with me in paradise. This day. Now, I don't know if they thought that you were going to hang here for days suffering, but this day you'll be with me in paradise. This day. We're both going to fail to meet the expectations of the world. They can call us failures because we did that. Because this day, they may see your body hanging on this cross. But this day, you'll be with me. Your soul will be with me in paradise. But let's draw our attention to this other one, this other a male factor. Now he said a couple of things. We're going to look at this and we're going to be done. If thou be Christ, he said in that 39th verse. Now this male factor, he was crooked even to the end. I mean, a conniver, okay? A deceiver, a con man, even to the end. I mean, think about this. There he was, hanging on the cross. I don't know the extent of his beating. They didn't tell us. But he was hanging on the cross. It was no picnic for him either. The one thing about those guys, as opposed to what happened with Jesus, we know that after a while they would go by. If these guys weren't dying fast enough, they would break their bones, their legs. They're already just hanging there, crucified, but then they turn around and break their legs, which caused them to slump down even more, choking themselves and dying even. It's a terrible death. You're in pain. You can't scooch yourself back up. Your head is dropping down in your shoulders while your arms is up. And it's just a terrible thing to even think about. But with all he's going through as well, he got the Lord Jesus right there in speaking distance, able to have a conversation with him. And he knew who Jesus was. If thou be Christ, if thou be Christ, he knew who he was. No, he didn't say if thou be a prophet, a preacher, a teacher, or again, rabbi. Those guys couldn't help him. If he was that, they couldn't help him in his present state. But if thou be Christ, if thou be Christ, see, along with that, we can look at this crooked man and say all kind of terrible things about him. But let me get you to understand something. He had enough sense, enough something to know that if he be Christ, he would have the power not to just save himself, but he could save them as well. If he be the Christ. Now, so he knew who he was, but when he says, if thou be Christ, just ask Jesus to have mercy, to save him. Even if he just asked him to save him from the crucifixion, he could have either asked him to save his soul. He didn't do any of that. He's trying to tempt Jesus, taught him. Try to use, as the folks used to say, try to use psychology to trick him. into doing something so that he can go down the road and say, yeah, I tricked Jesus into getting me off that cross. And all he had to do was ask. All he had to do was ask sincerely. And he could have been saved. But no. No. Crooked as he was, you can see he's crooked to the core. And all he had to do was ask, and he could have been saved. And this was nothing new to Jesus. Remember, he had heard these words before, even by Satan. Again, when Satan thought that he was weak. He heard those words before, if thou be Christ. Satan knew who he was. This man knew who he was and knew. They don't know the extent and didn't know the extent of his power, but they knew he had the power to do what they said. But their pride wanted to be able to say, I persuaded Jesus. I had a hand in Jesus. No, it wasn't that way. If thou be Christ, trying to tempt Jesus, taunt him into doing something. And then he said, save thyself and us. You know, that statement puts me in mind of those people who spend so much time. They think, they plan how they can steal something, how they can get around doing the right thing. I know of people who sat around and thought and planned and figured out how I can get this boot off my car. Instead of saying, well, listen, let me go down and make arrangements and just simply tell them I'm not working, I have no money or whatever. Do the right thing. But they spent all the energy trying to think of a way how to get that thing off of their car. And some have done it. Okay. This man here had no doubt that Jesus had the power to save them. He just simply said, if you're Christ, if you are Christ, save yourself and us. He had no question in his mind, no doubt in his mind that if this was indeed Christ, he could save him. He could save him. But he didn't know something. They didn't know something. All right, y'all stay with me. I'm just about finished. Beloved, even though Jesus failed to do what was expected, he didn't do what this malefactor, this crooked man expected. He didn't fall into his trickery, trying to taunt him into doing something that Jesus was more than capable of doing. He failed to do what this man expected. He didn't save himself even. The man thought devil was using this man, thought he was covering all bases. Yeah, he may not save us, but at least he'll save himself. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He looked right. He said, I can come off of this cross. I don't have to go through all of this pain. I don't have to go through all of this degradation. I don't have to go through any of this. I can stop this right now. But he didn't. But he didn't. He failed. He failed to give in to his physical hunger for this for the man that said after Satan, after being 40 days fasting, I know you're hungry. You could turn these rocks into bread. Nah, Jesus failed to fall for that. Nah, he failed to do all of that stuff. When it came to the male factor, this crook up there on the cross, right next to Jesus, talking about if you're Christ, save yourself and save us. Jesus failed to give in to his taunting, to his tempting, to save himself, which he easily could have done. He failed to do that. He didn't make that expectation. Beloved, in battle, listen, we are taught that failure is not an option. Some of us are veterans, have been in the service, and some have been in the war. Failure is not an option. We got to go take that hill. We got to go vanquish that enemy. There's no such thing as failure. That's not even in our vocabulary. But in a believer's battle, in our battle for souls, this is what believers are out here for. This is why we preach. This is why we teach. This is why we witness. This is why we testify. This is why we stand up and proclaim the good news of Christ, because we are in a battle for souls. Satan is steadily going to and fro, up and down in the earth, seeking whom he can devour. While we have been commissioned and commanded to go out and teach all, teach them to obey all that Jesus taught us to do. All the laws, all the commandments that he gave us, we ought to teach others the same thing, how to obey them. This is what we are expected to do. So, yes, in battle, failure is not an option. But for the believer, we have to fail to meet the expectations of the world. You see, the world tells you, no, you go out there and you tell folks, you keep teaching, you keep doing this. And if they don't want to listen, then let it go. They don't want to come out and hear what you got to say, then just stop going out. They don't want to believe what it is you're saying. They do not want to put any trust in God. They don't want to do what the word of God says, but they rather lean to their own understanding. The world says, let them go. That's what the world says. But the believer says, no, I have to fail to meet your expectations. I have to fail to do what you're telling me to do, because the Lord has sent me to do a job. He has commissioned me. He has commanded me to do a job. I have to fail to respond to your treatments, to your suggestions, world. I have to stop. Even though you'll get up and walk out of what I'm saying, I still must say. I still must say it. And some would say, why? Why? It seems like the more you preach, the less they want to hear. The more you teach, the less they want these lessons. The more you go out and tell them, well, just what thus says the word of God, the less they want to hear what you're saying. And say, why? Why continue? Why? Why didn't Jesus say, listen, I came here. I've done nothing but good. I've healed the sick. I've made the lame to walk. I've made the blind to see. I've fed those who are hungry. I've done nothing but good things to all people. But yet, you still continue in your sins and in what you wanted to do, disregarding what I was saying to you. But guess what? I'm not going to give in. I'm going to fail to quit. You know why? Because of love. Because of love. And it all began with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It all began with his Father. His Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus came. He suffered and knew he was going to suffer. He came here to suffer, bleed, and die, and then be resurrected and ascend into glory for us. He endured the pain of the cross for us. He endured the scourgings, the beatings, the battering for us. And if he didn't do it, we would never have a chance, because he came here and did this for us. He said, all you have to do is believe. What you must do is believe so that you can be born again. Then I might be able to bring you and take you to my Father's house. That's what love calls you to do. He didn't do this because God is going to be such a great fella. He didn't do this because little Joe, Billy, May, John, so, and the names go on and on and on, were such good people. He did it because he loves us. Many of us say, I love the Lord, but you have no way of showing it. You can't prove it. But God said, I love you. I love you so much, I'm going to send my only begotten Son. My only Son to die for you, to take your place. Because I can't have you dwell with me the way you are. You need to be born again. You need to be washed clean. And my Son, the only begotten Son that I have, and he's the only one whose blood can wash away my sin, your sin. He's the only one that can do it. And I'm not doing this out of any obligation I have to you. I'm doing it because I love you. I'm doing it because I love you. My sisters and my brothers, I encourage you. I encourage you that you show the love for one another that Jesus showed us. That you be willing to die for love's sake, for your love of the brethren, your love for your mate. You be willing to die for them. Understand, my sisters and brothers, that as long as we remember what our assignment is, as long as we remember what we have been commissioned and commanded to do, as long as we remember who and whose we are, and that we are the ambassadors for Christ, that we represent him, and that we must show that and act that way. As long as we remember this, remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 13:8. It simply says in the first part, love never fails. Love never fails. In the presence of failure, love always comes through. Sometimes you feel like giving up. You feel like quitting. But God's love comes through reminding you of who and whose you are, reminding you of your assignment, reminding you that yes, you have been sent out here as sheep among wolves, but it also reminds you that Jesus says, I am with you. I'm with you. We have to remember. We have to remember that even in the presence of failure, love always comes through. I hope and pray that that person who has not experienced the love of God, who has not sold out for Christ, who has not accepted the gift of God's only Son, to the one who has failed to do these things, I hope today you've made up your mind. You've made the decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you have done that. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. In the presence of failure, love always comes through. For the one, I have to say this. You said, you know what? I've been saved. I've been born again. But I got off the path. I've been doing my thing for a while. But I'm ready to recommit my life. Lord, allow me to get back. To get back in the battle. To continue to fight. And the Lord said, come on, I've never taken your spot away. Come on. God bless you. Heaven, smile upon you.